Mark chapter 9 tonight. Mark chapter 9. Read a couple verses here and try to finish up a thought tonight that the Lord spoke to our heart about early this morning. The Bible said in verse 30, and they departed thence. This was right after Jesus healed this man's son that had that deaf or dumb spirit about him and that tore him, and I guess it was a dumb and deaf spirit, that's correct, and it tore him and he foamed and the mouth, and it made a mess. And this young man's daddy came to the disciples, and they couldn't help him, so he went to Jesus, and Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I'll just say this. I was going to say something a while ago about being emotional. Look at that verse right there. I mean, listen, everybody's not the same. I heard about a preacher one time, Brother Don, I don't know if you heard it, but he prayed God would take his tears away from him because he couldn't preach without crying. He said, it wasn't long I found myself begging God to give them back. We'll just be who we are. We are who we are by the grace of God. The Bible said here, this father, and look at verse 24, said straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. I believe there was a lot of emotion in this statement. He said, help thou mine unbelief. Now I drop back down to verse number 30. They departed thence, and they passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men. They shall kill him. After that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Keyed in on that little phrase this morning where the Bible said they were afraid to ask him. Entitled the message today, Don't Be Afraid to Ask Jesus. Well, this morning we look back over in verse 27 of chapter number 8 and came down through some verses there where Jesus has that encounter with Peter. Who do men say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? And we said this morning, first in the message, don't be afraid to ask Jesus when you have a question concerning the faith. And then this morning we talked about this man and this story in chapter number 9 with his son. And we said, don't be afraid to ask Jesus when you have a concern concerning your family. Whatever the concern might be, don't be afraid to ask Jesus. You say, my faith is weak, preacher. He already knows that. The Bible said he already knows what we need even before we ask, but he wants us to ask that we might receive. Tonight I'm going to preach a little while. I'm looking up here at these verses and in chapter number 8, the end of the chapter. And there's more in chapter number 9. I'm not sure we'll get to it tonight. But I want to key in tonight on verse number 34 down through verse number 38 and say, don't be afraid to ask Jesus when you have a concern about following him. I believe with all of my heart the Lord has spoke to my heart about something today that's not touched on a whole lot. How many believes when we get saved by the grace of God, we're not our own anymore? We're bought with a price. But listen, things don't happen in the Christian experience just automatically. I believe the Bible said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek, and you shall be find. Watch what I mean here. Look at verse number 34. The Bible said, and when he had called the people unto him, his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I believe with all of my heart, Brother Aaron, you can help me with this in the children's church. But I don't believe we're putting enough emphasis today with our children and our teenagers, our moms and our dads, our mamaws and our papaws, on finding and doing the will of God for our lives, following the Lord Jesus. Jesus said here, he said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want you to know that in verse number 35, I believe most of the people in the world are in this category. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. I believe that describes the majority of the people in the world. But I want to say this. It would be a sad day if that describes the majority of the people in the church. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that we that are saved by the grace of God, heaven bound with the hammer down, we ought to be concerned about what God's will is for our lives, about following the Lord Jesus. There's more to the Christian life than church on Sunday morning, and church on Sunday evening, and church on Wednesday evening, and church at revival time. There's more to the Christian life, beloved, than just what we do publicly. I believe God wants us to follow Him every day of our life. God wants us to follow Him. Now watch this. He said, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Don't be afraid to ask Jesus. Do you know you're in the middle of God's will? Do you know? I tell you what, I didn't even mean to mention this tonight. But I thought about going back, it'll be 6 years, Mother's Day, sitting out there in that old Crown Victoria, almost midnight that night. You know what I was doing? Asking Jesus. You know, can I tell you something from the bottom of my heart? I was afraid of what he might say. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the dear brother, Brother Steve Dagenhart, had preached a message over at Oak Glen entitled, "He Didn't See It Coming." He preached on the blind man that Jesus healed, and he titled his sermon, "He Didn't See It Coming." I drove from Bloomingdale to Seguinsville, and that night, after God put it in my heart what he wanted me to do, and saying over and over, "Oh God, I didn't see this coming," weeping. I couldn't even hardly see the road for weeping. It wasn't that I didn't want to do his will. Say amen. But I knew there was a responsibility that comes with his will. Beloved, listen tonight. I believe a lot of people are afraid to ask Jesus. They're afraid to ask Jesus, "Lord, what is it?" They're afraid to ask Jesus. It might require a move. It might require less money. Help me tonight. It might require being made fun of. It might require being ridiculed. Is anybody with me tonight? You say, "Preacher, what in the world are you talking about?" I'm talking about a man named Isaiah. He goes through five chapters telling you everything that's wrong in the nation of Israel. He has an encounter with a holy God in chapter number 6. And then he says this, "Woe is me, I'm undone." But listen, when he got in the presence of God, he didn't just see himself, beloved. Listen to me carefully. God said, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" Thank God Isaiah stood up and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me." I believe tonight we shouldn't be afraid to ask Jesus. I believe our teenagers shouldn't be afraid to ask Jesus, "What do you want me to do with my life?" I believe our children shouldn't be afraid to ask Jesus, "Lord, what do you want me to do with my life?" There ought to be more than dollar signs when the child of God is considering what he's going to do with his life. I believe with all of my heart that the world puts something with success. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Well, if you go over there, beloved, and talk to Joshua, in Joshua chapter number 1, Moses had passed off the scene. And you know what? He was going to have good success if he followed God, if he went after the commandments of God. That he said, "Then thou shalt have good success." Beloved, I believe with all of my heart tonight
We should take this very, very seriously and not be afraid to ask Jesus. You say, preacher, listen to me tonight. You may be right in the middle of God's will. I'll tell you one thing you're going to find out. You miss His will and your peace is going to go out the window. You're going to lose that peace. You're going to lose that joy. And I believe our churches are sitting full of people today, listen to me carefully, that are considering everything in their life except what does God want me to do with my life. I'll say this. I'll say it. I don't say it lightly. I don't say it throwing any stones at anybody. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Even moving from church to church, people sometimes don't even take into consideration the will of God. I like this style, or I like that style, or I like this youth program, or I like that youth program. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. I done it. Amen. I'm telling you, and don't even take into consideration, is this God's will for my family? They're afraid to ask Jesus, because what Jesus says might be contrary to what they want to do. I've said some time ago, and I believe it's true, if you ask enough people in this world, somebody will tell you what you want to hear. But let me say this to you tonight. If you ask Jesus, He'll never tell you what you want to hear. He'll tell you what you need to hear. He'll tell you what's good, not for time, but for eternity. And beloved, listen, what's good for eternity sometimes puts us in an uncomfortable spot in time. Say amen. I believe that tonight. The Bible said here, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Let me back up and say something, be real clear about it tonight. I believe, listen to me carefully. Y'all remember a young man by the name of Tim Tebow. How many remembers Tim? How many remembers that many times he would kneel on the football field? How many remembers that? And he was kneeling as a Christian. He was kneeling and giving thanks to his Heavenly Father. He was trying his best to be a light to his team and be a light. Well, let me ask you something, beloved. How many remembers the news media poking fun at him? Come on now. Come on now. But you let somebody kneel while the national anthem's being played and we're supposed to be saluting that flag over there, and this crazy news media makes him out to be a hero. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, doing the right thing for God sometimes will put you in an uncomfortable position. The Word of God said, what shall it profit? I'm not saying that none of our teenagers ought to play ball. I believe, listen, that God can use a witness anywhere. But I am saying this, all of our teenagers ought to be seeking God's will. About their career, about their activities, about their family. Somebody say amen. They ought to be taught when they're 16, 17, 18 years old to start praying. Start praying right then that God would send them the mate for their life. You want to know why so much is ending up in divorce? Because men and women are walking by sight and not by faith. They've never asked God one time, God, what do you want for my life? God, what do you want for my life? Don't be afraid to ask Jesus when it's concerning following Him. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in his glory with his Father and his holy angels. You know something tonight? I can tell you honestly tonight, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I can tell you honestly tonight that it wouldn't matter which hospital I'm in tomorrow, which nursing home I'm in tomorrow, which gas station I'm at tomorrow, I'll still not be ashamed of Jesus. He has done so much for me. Let me ask you a question tonight. I'm going to close with this. I want you to think about this. I want to give it to you. Never thought about it till this afternoon. I didn't really take a nap. If you call 10 minutes a nap, I don't call that a nap, but But I did study the back of my eyelids for about 10 minutes. I woke up. God gave me a thought. This young man here, this young man in the story right here that Jesus healed, drove that demon out, told that demon, you go somewhere else. You're done here. Let me ask you something. Brother Thurman, have you ever thought about this? Do you reckon his daddy had to get him and say, now son, listen, you need to follow Jesus. I don't believe he ever had to mention it to you, because that young man knew what Jesus had done for him. Now listen to me tonight. Let's go back here and read something real quick. Watch this now. Let's go back here and read this, and I'll be done. The Bible said here, let's go back here in verse 25 of chapter number 9. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. Insomuch that many said, he is dead. He laid there in a lifeless form. This one that had wallowed, this one that had foamed, that had went into convulsions, is now laying there and it just looks like he's dead. I want you to see something. Watch this. The Word of God said, but Jesus took him by the hand. Hallelujah. And lifted him up. Is there anybody in this room tonight that Jesus took by the hand and lifted you up? Amen. He didn't lift you up out of wallering and foaming. He lifted you up out of the muck and the mire. And I'm telling you, we ought to walk with all of our heart to follow him. Don't be afraid to ask Jesus, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Where do you want me to do it? I believe with all of my heart, there's no better place for the child of God to be found when Jesus comes than in the center of his will. Amen. Brother Don, I heard something years ago. Perhaps you've heard it too. I don't know who the old preacher was. Sometimes I remember the gist of things, but don't remember the details. But somebody asked an old preacher, said, if you knew that Jesus was coming today, 2:00 this afternoon, what would you change? And the old preacher said, nothing. Oh, to live like that. What that meant, Brother Grizzle, is he got up that morning in the will of God. He had talked to his father. That meant that he was confident that he was doing exactly what his father wanted him to do. And why would you change anything? Why wouldn't you want to just be found doing what God wants you to do? Don't be afraid to ask Jesus. My grandson, Jordan, he's been talking to me a little bit. We haven't. He still gets on the internet and listens to Papaw preach. We haven't talked about it, but he sent me a text a little while back. He said, Papaw, how do you know if God's wanting you to preach? I don't know, Brother Ralph, but wouldn't it be something if God, the one I was worried about the most, wouldn't it be something if... if God picked him up? He's done saved him real good. And used him in a mighty way. But before that, Jordan said, Papaw, he said, I've been thinking about going in the Marines. And I told Jordan, I said, Jordan, I said, if that be the will of God, son, I believe it'd be good for you. It teaches structure, teach you discipline. But you know, I kind of got to get a little bit more serious praying about the will of God for him now. It might be another army. that God's wanting him to join up with? I don't know. But I do know this. I told people years ago on a Sunday morning, I said, if you'll come back tonight, I'll tell you what I want my children to be when they grow up. And I only have one boy. I got a bunch of grandsons, but I only have one boy. And we had a good crowd that Sunday night. They just want to know what the preacher wanted his kids to be when they grow up. And I started with my oldest girl. It's still the truth tonight. I said, I want a man to be what God wants a man to be. I went to my boy, and I said, I want my boy to be what God wants my boy to be. I made this statement, Brother Don. I said, if God wants my boy to be a preacher and he tries to be a plumber, he'll be a miserable man. But if God wants my boy to be a plumber and he tries to be a preacher, he'll be a miserable man. I've been around people that kind of take the Holy Spirit out of a call to preach, and I tell you what, you better not do that. You better let God do that work. Amen. But tonight, I want to leave you with this thought. When it comes to following Jesus, don't be afraid to ask Jesus. Brother Ralph, it don't matter how old we are. It don't matter, youngins. Trent, it don't matter how young we are. Somebody said Trent played in the front line. I thought he was the front line. Amen. Don't be afraid to ask Jesus. Because I tell you what he'll do. How many believes he'll never steer you wrong? He'll steer you in the right direction every time for the glory of God. The Bible said down there that, but they understood not that saying. I believe there's a lot of us at a lot of different times in our life that just don't understand. But let's get past where the disciples got right here. The Bible said they were afraid to ask him. Let's get to that place where we remember, don't be afraid to ask Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, don't be afraid to ask Jesus. If you're here tonight and you don't know what God wants you to do with your life, don't be afraid to ask Jesus. He loves you tonight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a lot of young people that have no interest in finding the will of God. But God has blessed us with some jewels around this place that want to know God's mind, that want to do God's will. Don't be afraid to ask Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege. The privilege, Lord, to open this book we call the Bible that we know is your word. Lord, the disciples walked with you. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet, Lord, there came a time when they were afraid to ask Jesus. Lord, I pray tonight that today's little lesson would sink deep down in through our ears, into our heart. I'm thinking, Lord, of a preacher in Bristol. He's at home in heaven now, Brother Howard Robinson. Thinking, Lord, of the times he's preached revival, and that time he told us that he always asked God what route
God wanted him to take. Going to the church or going to visit or going to the hospital. Because he figured that perhaps somebody on that route needed help. Perhaps somebody on that route needed to be saved. Something as simple, Lord, as which route do I take? Yet he acknowledged, Lord, that he wanted your direction in every facet of his life. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be more sensitive to you. Bless our precious children and teenagers, young people, young adults, our Lord, going off to college and into careers. May they never, ever forget that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And may they never get to the place where they're afraid to ask Jesus. I pray tonight, Father, that as we go forward here at Bible Way, myself, the deacons, would never be afraid to ask Jesus. Lord, we can't do it without you. I pray, Lord, tonight, speak to our hearts. Let's stand together tonight. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.